With the bulk of NFL free agency over, it's time to turn our attention to the NFL draft in a couple of weeks. And on this episode of the Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to run through the Giants' various position groups to determine where they really need the most help and why. That's coming your way next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and it is a Tuesday, and on today's Locked On Giants podcast, I'm going to run down the various position units on the New York Giants ahead of the draft, which is in about 2.5 weeks, a little over 2 weeks, and I'm going to try and kind of reset the depth and tell you where I think the Giants stand as far as each position unit. If the need for adding talent to the position unit is high, low, or medium. And I'm going to explain why, and not going to give you picks just per se, but as an FYI on Giants Country, I do have another mock draft coming, and that mock draft should be out probably on Tuesday morning. So if you're, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, if you want to check out my latest mock draft, that one's over at Giants Country. So without any further ado, let's get into it. All right. So again, the criteria is to go through each position and assign an assessment. If the need is a high need, medium need, low need, or maybe it doesn't exist, the need, you know, it could be that as well. So let's get to it. I'm going to start off with quarterback. Now, obviously, the Giants have Daniel Jones under contract. They have Tyrod Taylor under contract. So quarterbacks 1 and 2 are pretty much set. What about a developmental quarterback? Well, you can make a case and say that it's a low need, that the Giants, if they don't spend a draft pick on a developmental quarterback, maybe they sign somebody as an undrafted free agent. But I do think that it is a need nonetheless, a low need. So much so that maybe they can, like I said, get away with signing an undrafted free agent. You know, the Giants have always had, three quarterbacks in the building, you know, two on the roster, one on the practice squad. And with Davis Webb having retired and turning to coaching, right now the Giants don't have anybody. So if you look at what Buffalo did when Joe Shane was there, when Brian Daboll was there, they always had a quarterback on the practice squad that was kind of waiting in the wings, somebody to develop. Because look, Tyrod Taylor is under contract for one more year. He may or may not be extended after this year. Quite honestly, I think he's got a high cap hit for, you know, given how things kind of worked out with Daniel Jones. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the Giants even look to adjust his contract at some point to, you know, maybe even give him another year. I don't know. But, the bottom line is I do think the Giants are going to need to add another developmental quarterback. Just see what they can pick up. And, you know, worst case scenario, the guy develops and, you know, now he replaces, Tyrod Taylor. If he doesn't develop, then you move on in a couple of years. But I do think that the Giants are going to do that. Hence why I give it a low need, but not necessarily one that they have to spend a draft pick on. All right. Running back. I think running back is a medium need. All right, Saquon Barkley, as we know, received the franchise tag. He hasn't signed it yet as of this recording. Matt Breida was brought back on another one-year deal. Gary Brightwell is under contract. Jashawn Corbin is under contract. Sandro Platzkummer is no more to this roster. So I do think the Giants are going to look into this deep running backs class and add to what they have on the roster. Now, let's talk a little bit about running backs 1 and 2 here. As I mentioned, Saquon Barkley looks like he's headed towards playing on the tag this year, which means after this year is over, if they don't reach a new long-term deal by July 17th, guess what? They got to go through this whole song and dance again next year. And next year, they're going to have a few more guys that maybe they might want to use the franchise tag on, notably Xavier McKinney, if they don't extend him now, or, you know, if they don't get, for example, Dexter Lawrence, who I know they're trying to extend now, but if for some reason that doesn't work out, he's going to probably be a candidate for the franchise tag next year. So there, and what I'm getting at, folks, is there's no guarantee that the franchise tag will necessarily be available for Saquon. Further, Saquon will be one more year older. Hopefully he will be healthy. Hopefully he'll come through this year without any, you know, significant injuries that cause him to miss any time. But we don't know that. I mean, given his history so far, healthy years have been the exception rather than the norm. So I also mentioned that Breida is only under contract for one more year, this year coming up. So to me, you've got a deep running backs class, dip into it at some point. Now, I'm not saying dip into it day one or day two. I do think the Giants will dip into the running back class at some point on day three. Probably, if I had to take a guess, I would say by the fifth round would make sense for the Giants to dip into that running back class. Okay, next position, wide receiver. Now, this is going to probably shock you guys, but I put this position right now as a low need. Okay, why? You're probably saying, what are you talking about? This is a priority need. The Giants don't have an X receiver. They have guys who can play the X receiver. Do they have a bona fide number one receiver? You can make the case that they don't. But let's talk about this for a second here. When you talk about a number one receiver, you're basically talking about a guy who's going to create headaches for the opposing defensive coordinator, a guy that's going to be game planned around. But if you look at how the Giants have run their offense, they kind of spread the ball around a little bit. In other words, they feature different guys every week. So I'm thinking that perhaps, given that, you know, we all know free agency wasn't a very deep class, this receiver class, if Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl is to be believed, and why wouldn't he be? He was saying on his Twitter account that the NFL community maybe doesn't regard the receiver class as deep as much as, or as highly, I should say, as media and fans do. So maybe if you're the Giants, maybe you'd be patient. You say, okay, look, we got our number one receiver in tight end, Darren Waller. We've got a couple guys who are big targets in Isaiah Hodgins and Paris Campbell. We've got some, you know, some smaller guys, you know, Sterling Shepard, if he can make it back, Wandale Robinson, if he makes it back, Jameson Crowder is another guy. You know, they brought back Darius Slayton, who's a taller guy. They have Colin Johnson, who's a taller guy. So it's not the sexiest group of receivers at the end of the day, but is it a group that they can maybe get by with? I think they can. If there was a stud receiver in this draft, you know, like an A.J. Brown, for example, or Justin Jefferson, that would be quite a different story, but there isn't. So sometimes rather than try and force it, just go with what you have. I mean, you've got a creative offensive coordinator in Mike Kafka, Brian Daboll also contributing to the offense there. You do have a variety of different receivers so that you can throw the shorter passes and let these smaller guys pick up the yards after the catch. You can try a few deep balls, you know, assuming your offensive protection is better. So I think in terms of, you know, this need, well, yes, it would be nice to have a Justin Jefferson on your roster or a CD Lamb on your roster. I don't think the Giants are going to force it. So that's why I'm saying that wide receiver is probably a low need in terms of where things stand right now, given what the Giants did in free agency and the specific class. Okay, coming up, tight end, offensive line, defensive line. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, Giant fans, the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs are coming right around the corner. And right now, there's no better place to get in on the action than at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which teams will be hoisting their respective league trophies. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Hey, Giant fans, thanks so much for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen or watch every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Damian Parson and Keith Sanchez provide in-depth coverage of the biggest NFL draft prospects with deep dives into the sleepers and hidden gems that can change your favorite NFL franchise. Find Locked On NFL Draft wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina, and we are running down an evaluation of where the Giants' various position units currently stand. In my opinion, you may agree or disagree. It's up to you. But in terms of depth, in terms of what they need, what they still need to get, and why. And I'm not giving you names because I'm not doing a mock draft here. But again, I do have a mock draft coming out on Giants Country, a mock draft for which I think I got a B+, according to Pro Football Focus's simulator. And I went a little differently with this mock draft as opposed to the mock draft I did a couple of weeks ago here on this program. So if you want to check that out, that will be up on Giants Country, I believe around 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning. So do check it out. Let me know what you think. All right. Also, before I get into the next group of positions, it's back. That's right. Traina, and Dog is coming back this week. I'm working it out with the guys, but it looks like it's going to be Thursday night, 7:30. We're going to have a live stream of the Locked On Giants podcast. We'll go a couple of hours. We'll talk about everything that's transpired. We'll talk draft. We'll take your questions. We'll do all the usual stuff. Just have a grand old time. I know a lot of you like the live stream. I enjoy the live stream. So I'm actually looking forward to doing that with the guys. And I will post a note for those of you who watch on YouTube. I will post a note in the community section when I have the final details. And if I have them before then, I'll also mention it on tomorrow's show. But the live stream is coming back. So now some of you also asked me if we're doing a live stream over the draft. Unfortunately, no. And I'm sure Tana and Dog will be doing a live stream, but I won't be able to do a live stream because I will be at the Giants on site. And usually, you know, with the picks, I have to write and then I have to run off the pressers and then I've got to shoot videos and stuff like that. So for me to sit on a live stream is just not going to happen, unfortunately. But we'll see about doing a live stream maybe after the draft, you know, maybe after everything has settled down, I'll get with the guys and we'll do something. So for those of you who asked about that, that's kind of where we're going with it. All right, let's get back to breaking down the various position units. We're going to do tight end, offensive line, and interior defensive line in this segment here. We'll start off with tight end. Now, I went back and forth on this one between low and medium because obviously the trade of Waller and then the restructure of his contract would suggest that the Giants want to keep him around a little bit. They do have, Daniel Bellinger, who I still say is one of the underrated players on this team. So that 1-2 punch should be sufficient. Who's number three, though? Is it going to be Lawrence Cager? Is it going to be Chris Myrick? Should it be somebody else? So to me, I'm going to say this is a low need. I do think the Giants have people on their roster. They have Dre Miller, who's another guy who was, I think on I think he was injured last year, and then they signed him back to the practice squad. And I believe he's on a reserve futures contract. I think this is a low need. But that being said, this is a deep class for tight ends. So could I see the Giants picking up another tight end for the practice squad? I could see it. But I don't know that they're going to spend a draft pick on a tight end. That would kind of surprise me at this juncture. So I'm going to say low for tight end. Let's talk offensive line. Now, when we're talking offensive line, we obviously have to break down the positions. We can't just, swoop it all up in one, generic title, offensive line. So I'm going to start with offensive tackle. Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas are the starters. Who's behind them, though? So you've got Tyree Phillips. You've got Matt Paird. And I think there's one other guy whose name's escaping me at the moment. But I want to say he was on. I think Jack Anderson can also play tackle, too. But he's more of an interior guy. But anyway, the point being is, I'm not so sure that the Giants won't add more depth at offensive tackle, because if you have an injury, and God forbid you don't have Andrew Thomas and you don't have Evan Neal, you only got really, you know, to my mind, one, maybe two guys, you know, that you can plug in there if you need to. So if I'm the Giants, I think I'm looking to add an offensive tackle, maybe on day three, just to bolster the depth at the position. You can never have too much. And as we saw last year, when the left guard kept going down, it was like, okay, running out of guys to plug in here. So I would like to see them add to that position. You know, Matt Paird, he's been okay when he's been plugged in, but I think they can maybe upgrade at that spot, if I'm being honest with you. All right. Interior offensive line. That is where the biggest need is. And that to me is a must. We all can agree, I think. Center is a must. Center is a, don't even think about not getting a center. All right. The Giants agreed to terms with J.C. Hassenauer, who, as of this recording, I don't think the team officially announced that he signed. I think it was everything was pending a physical. So he's not officially signed as of this recording, like I said. But that being said, I would imagine that Hassenauer is only going to be signed to a veteran minimum contract, which, if that is the case, for the love of God, get a center in here who you can develop for the long term. Giants haven't had the same starting center on opening day since, I want to say, 2017, you know, or might've been 2016, basically when Weston Richburg was here. Every year it has been a different starting center. And you just signed Daniel Jones to a big contract, okay? If you're going to get him receiving help, which they've done, get him consistent offensive line help. Try to build a consistent offensive line that's not changing up every single year, especially in the interior. I think, you know, we all know that last year, a lot of the pressure from the offensive line allowed came up the gut. So they really got to upgrade, I think, the center position. Now, what about the guards? Glowinski had some struggles, admittedly. How much of that was a result of playing next to a rookie? Because, you know, look, a lot of people don't realize this, but who you play next to sometimes can affect your play if you're a veteran, especially if you're worrying about helping that rookie out. So I'm going to see what Glowinski brings to the table. He's not a bad player, but, you know, he wasn't, you know, maybe what we thought he was going to be. But let's see how he does this year. I still think he can rebound. Over at left guard, that position, I think, is going to be, it's going to have a competition. And those competing are going to be Joshua Zudu, who I believe they maybe are eyeing to win that job. You're going to have Shane Lemieux, assuming Shane Lemieux doesn't get hurt again. Ben Bredesen can obviously compete for that position. I think Bredesen might end up as a reserve, you know, the swing center slash guard. You know, Jack Anderson's another guy who could play, I think, on that side. So you've got plenty of candidates for that left guard spot. So I don't know that they necessarily have to add at guard, but center is a must. So to recap, I think for offensive tackle, I would say that's a medium need. And I could see them maybe going with a day three draft pick there. Guard, you know, if you get a center guard, you know, you're addressing it, but get a center, a guy who has played it at the college level, not one of these guards who, oh, you know, he converted to center and just learned a position. Stop putzing around here. Get a center, please. All right. Joe Shane, if you're listening, get a center. Thank you. All right. Next position is interior defensive line. Now, the Giants have obviously added Raheem Nunez-Roches, Nacho, to the interior defensive line. They have Leonard Williams, who is in the last year of his contract. Now, I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to extend him. I do believe they want to, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So that being said, get some depth in here. All right. You've got DJ Davidson, who's coming off of the ACL. Jihad Ward can play a little defensive line for you. Ryder Anderson obviously can play some defensive line. But how many times did we see that front seven get beaten in the trenches? A little too much last year. So you look at teams like the Eagles, and they had a deep defensive line, a deep defensive front. I'd like to see the Giants maybe add to what they have. You know, they have a stud in Dexter Lawrence. Leonard Williams is still a very good player, but again, I don't know how much longer they're going to have him. You know, is it going to be just this year and then Leonard's going to want to hit free agency and get a new deal? Or are the Giants going to be able to, you know, get him under contract on, you know, extend his current deal? I don't know that. So I think you have to prepare for the worst case scenario, get some defensive line help. Now, interestingly, someone in the mailbag asked me, Pat, do you think it's possible the Giants might look to take an interior defensive lineman earlier in the draft as opposed to, say, day three? Might they go and take an interior defensive lineman in day two? You know what, folks? I wouldn't rule that out. I know it would probably make a lot of people upset given the other priorities that the team might have, or, you know, that the priorities that we think the team has, but it wouldn't shock me because, again, when you look at the problems that the Giants had last year, where was one of their biggest issues? The run defense. And yes, a big part of that was the linebackers didn't exactly fit, you know, the run lanes. But whenever Dexter Lawrence was off the field, whenever Leonard Williams was off the field, the Giants got run against. And it didn't even matter what the linebackers were doing behind them because guys just weren't able to get off blocks. And it was just, you know, it was a disaster. So I could see the Giants, you know, potentially adding a interior defensive lineman earlier in the draft, like maybe, I don't know, round three of the draft. I wouldn't rule that out, or at the latest, like maybe round four. So yeah, very likely that could happen. So just something I throw out there. I know somebody had asked me about that, and I just wanted to mention that here on the podcast. All right, coming up next, we've got the remaining positions, linebacker, edge, safety, cornerback. Don't go anywhere. Hey, Giant fans, imagine you could sit in general manager Joe Shane's chair and run the upcoming draft. Well, we all know that won't happen, but there is something that you can do that is pretty close to making it happen. And that's by taking part in this super new game called Ultimate Football GM. Ultimate Football GM puts you in control of your franchise, every aspect of your franchise, as you attempt to build a dynasty. When you play Ultimate Football GM, you get to control and manage every strategic aspect as you go through the season. That includes hiring the coaches and coordinators, setting up the uniforms, working free agency, doing trades, the draft, and everything in between. This game is so much fun, and best of all, you can play it offline and compete with your friends for bragging rights. And did I mention Ultimate Football GM is completely free to play, and that Locked On Giants listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in all caps in the game store. So what are you waiting for? You want to be a GM? Well, show your stuff. Find Ultimate Football GM in the app stores or visit ultimate-gm.com. And don't forget that all cap promo code Locked On for your free boost. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina, and we are running down the list of Giant position groups. And where is the greatest need? Where is the lesser of the needs? I'm giving you my two cents. If you agree, let me know in the comments section if you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening on our audio platforms. Drop me a note. Let me know what you think. I mean, I'm always interested in your opinions. This is obviously you're interested in mine, which is why you're either listening or watching this podcast. So we've got a few more positions to go. Linebacker, edge, safety, and cornerback. So let's do this. Start off with linebacker. Now we're talking inside linebacker. The Giants, as we know, added Bobby Okereke. They re-signed Jared Davis, a guy that they were very interested in signing for a number of weeks last year. And they finally were able to get him away from the Detroit Lions. They're getting Darian Beavers back from an ACL injury. Do they have enough there? Probably. Now, they also have Micah McFadden, who was a draft pick last year. They have Carter Coughlin, who was a draft pick, I think, a couple of years ago. Cam Brown can play inside linebacker. So they do have some guys that can compete at the position. Of those guys, however, I have a gut feeling that one of Carter Coughlin and Micah McFadden will end up making this team and the other one will not. And the one that makes the team who will, along with Cam Brown, be more of a special teams player. So I wouldn't rule out the Giants adding another linebacker prospect. I don't think it's as high a need as maybe it was had they not signed Bobby Okereke. So I would put this as a low need, and I would say maybe this is even like a day three type of pick, if I had to take a guess. What round, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look at my mock draft, which I don't remember since I just wrote it a few hours ago before we're taping this. But I could see them definitely adding a linebacker on day three with 10 picks. I mean, I see them kind of spreading things out. The beauty of what happened with the Giants and free agencies, they can go in any number of directions and they're not necessarily, you know, locked into where they have to have this, they have to have that. Really, the only position, in my opinion, they have to have is a center. And one of the positions I'm going to talk about coming up in just a bit. All right, edge rusher. I have said it before, and I will say it again. Edge rusher on this team is a sneaky need. The Giants' outside linebackers last year accounted for 14 of the team's sacks. To put that in perspective, Eagles edge rusher Hassan Reddick had 16 sacks all by his lonesome. Now, look, I get it. Sacks are great to have, but most defensive coordinators will say, as long as you're disrupting the quarterback, as long as you're moving him off his mark, forcing an incompletion or, you know, a hurried throw that results in a turnover, just as good. Yes, to an extent, that is correct. But if you can get a loss of yardage, isn't that a heck of a lot better? I think it is. So that being said, the Giants have their Batman and Robin pass rushing duo in Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari, assuming they can both stay healthy, that is, which was a problem last year, especially with Ojulari. They did re-sign Jihad Ward, who could give them outside linebacker snaps. O'Shane Zimenez is not coming back. I think at this point, if he was going to be back, they would have probably re-signed him. They have Ellerson Smith on the roster. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. So, you know, we've seen flashes from him, but can he be counted on with his availability? So far, no. I could see the Giants adding an edge rusher. And I would give this a medium need. I would say edge rusher is definitely medium in terms of the need. So would I spend a day one pick on an edge rusher? Not unless, you know, like a Will McDonough or somebody like that fell all the way down to 25, which I don't see happening. Would I spend a day two pick on an edge rusher? Probably not. Day three is where I would go. Maybe like early on day three. But I do think edge rusher is a position they're going to want to address. It's a sneaky need. And again, if you can get somebody who can help with that pass rush, especially, you know, give Don Martindale some additional firepower on the pass rush. You know, you've got Dexter Lawrence can rush the passer. Obviously, Leonard Williams can rush the passer. But you want guys coming off the edge too, you know. So you got Thibodeau, you got, you know, Ojulari. And maybe if you throw another guy in there, good luck blocking all those guys if you're the opposing offense. So you can never have too many pass rushers. And I just feel that the Giants can maybe use one more good one. All right. What about, let's go to the defensive secondary. Let's start with safety. There is a player in my Giants country mock draft that reminds me, just, you know, based on the scouting report that I was able to research, and then looking at his tape, kind of reminds me of a younger and slightly better Landon Collins, you know, a big guy who can play strong safety down in the box, free safety, kind of be that pseudo linebacker, even if you wanted him to. Spoiler alert, that safety is JL Skinner, yeah, of Boise State. And I have him in my mock draft, actually. Actually, I think that was one of two players that I selected in this mock draft that's appearing on Giants Country that got a grade of A on it. So I have him in, I think it's the fourth round is when I picked him. Yeah, I think it's the fourth round. And I'm just trying to remember if that was the result of a trade I made. But anyway, you'll see it when that mock draft comes out. But anyway, why is safety a need? Again, here are some of the facts about this, the Giants safety. So you've got Xavier McKinney, who is still recovering from that hand injury. He should be okay, but the thing about McKinney is he's been in the league. This will be his fourth season, and he's missed chunks of time in two of the three. So if you can keep him on the field and that hand gets back to where it needs to be, you got yourself a really good player there. Obviously, Julian Love is no longer here. The Giants signed Bobby McCain to fill in, you know, at that spot. I don't know necessarily if McCain's going to be the starter. I think he probably will be, but he's going to have to compete for the job. The Giants also drafted last year Dane Belton, who showed signs of, you know, being a promising safety. They have Terrell Burgess, who was on the practice squad. And they have Jason Pinnock, who is very intriguing. So the Giants do have depth at the safety position, but Bobby McCain is signed to 1 year. McKinney right now, again, he's entering the last year of his deal. And the assumption is that, you know, he's going to be extended at some point, but I still say that depends on his hand. Because if his hand doesn't get back to where it needs to be, and that becomes a problem with this game, if you're the Giants, maybe you think about, you know, going in a different direction. So I just think if you can get a safety in this draft who can play high, who could play down in the box, who could play in the slot, who could be that pseudo linebacker, you know, that nickel linebacker like Collins filled when during the regular season, why not go for it? So I would say safety is probably a medium to low need, but I would hedge more on the medium side, because when we build rosters, or at least when I build a roster, I'm not just looking at the current year's needs. I'm trying to look down the line, taking into consideration contracts, scenarios, and all that stuff. And I think most GMs, if not all GMs, do the same thing. So I would say, yeah, get another safety in here, given the importance of that back end of the defense. Cornerback, that's a high need, folks. I mean, no question about it. You put that with center, to me, that is a high need. So let's look at the cornerback situation. Adoree Jackson will be back, but this is the last year of his contract. I am not so sure they're going to extend him. All right, he's got a voidable year next year. I don't know that they extend him, not with the cornerback class being as deep as this class is, right? You could probably get somebody on par with Adoree Jackson's skill set for a lot less on a rookie deal. On the other side, the competition currently will consist of Nick McLeod. You'll have Cordell Flott over there. Aaron Robinson will be over there. I think there's a couple of other guys that maybe have reserved futures contracts, but I don't know if they have their starter over there. You know, here's the thing. Aaron Robinson in college was a slot cornerback. The Giants every year just seem to want to move on from Darnay Holmes, and every year he survives. So for me, maybe move Aaron Robinson, who's got that height and that size and that length, move him to the slot. you know, and, you know, Darnay Holmes plays big and he's not horrible, but we all saw last year how there were some issues with him. So I don't know. I would move, like I said, I would move Robinson back to the slot. Rodarius Williams is another guy they have on the roster. I don't want to forget him. But Rodarius Williams at the end of last year was banished to the inactive list. I don't even know if he's going to make the roster. So again, in a class that's very deep, just so happens it's a need for the Giants. I could see them double dipping in the cornerbacks class. It's that deep. You could probably get starter quality material as late as the fourth round. And spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, in my mock draft over on Giants Country, I'm taking a cornerback with pick number. Well, I won't tell you what pick number it is because I did make a trade, but my first pick in my mock draft is a cornerback. So that's how important I think the position is for the Giants. That's how big of a need I think it is for the Giants. Now, will Joe Shane agree? We'll see. Obviously, they're going to draft best player available, but we all know that best player available to a degree is kind of a, I don't want to say a fantasy or misnomer, because if several players have the same grade or are separated by just a fraction of the point, need comes into play. So that's when it becomes important if you're the GM to say, okay, we have a cluster of guys who have roughly the same grade. So do we want to put more of a value on, say, a cornerback 3 or a center 1 at this position? And usually the center 1 will win out over a cornerback 3, I would think. So that's kind of how it's done. That's how I would approach it at any rate. We'll see how the Giants do it. Now, before we say goodbye, a couple things real quick. General Manager Joe Shane will be speaking to the media on April 20th, his annual draft preview presser, in which, you know, general managers, they don't really say anything, but they spend a half hour talking. So I'm going to be interested in kind of getting a better sense for how Joe Shane approaches certain aspects of roster building, because I think having that understanding will kind of maybe help with some mock drafts and whatnot. We'll also kind of see if we can get a feel for what the Giants might be thinking in terms of pick number 25, which is where they currently pick. This is going to be hard to pick because they're picking so low. I don't know necessarily, you know, I can't sit here and say, oh, it's definitely going to be Saquon Barkley, or it's definitely going to be, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau or a receiver or whatever. It's tough. The lower you go in the draft order, the harder it is to forecast. But we'll give you an educated guess, obviously, as we get a little closer. So that all being said, that's what's coming up. Now, on the Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to continue. We've got shows every day this week. Remember, I think Thursday is going to be our live stream. I will post the details on the YouTube channel. I'm going to see if I can get you some more guests this week, because I know a lot of you like the guests that we have on the show. And we'll just keep plugging away as we count down to the biggest event on the NFL offseason calendar, the draft. It's coming up so, so soon. And we will be there. So that's going to do it for us here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Until tomorrow, everybody, we will talk to you soon.